Good morning.
Good morning.
I still remember the smell of spring and the felt of flannel graph and that of old church linoleum from my old church. As a young child, my family, literally my whole family, came together for church in this small country church in Oklahoma. Every spring break, our little native church was visited by a group of college students from Moody Bible Institute. It was an exciting time of meeting new folks and friends who continued to come with the old crew, and they essentially became family as well. But in all of this noise of new friends and old friends, there was Mrs. Hare. Really didn't know Mrs. Hare's first name. We weren't allowed to say first names in that small church. It was always Mrs. Hare or Mr. Brown or Mr. Belt. But Mrs. Hare was always preparing. She was always early, and she was always getting ready for the children's church. She was always cutting stuff. She was cleaning and organizing all the crafts. And as the adults were in the sanctuary, the little ones were in the Sunday school classroom, itchy to see what Miss Hare had prepared for us. This evening was different as we met together. The flannel graph was dark, and candles were lit all around the room. Mrs. Hare talked about the darkness that fell when Jesus died, but then followed it up with a bright message, and we had to run and grab all the candles and bring it to the table in front. This moved me, even as a seven-year-old, to talk about Jesus' death. And she talked to me after class was over. She told me how Jesus had made it a way for all of us not to be apart from him and the Creator anymore. And then, after that was over, after we talked about that, she led me to the Lord. She talked to me about that, how I could start a relationship with him. And as soon as we were done, she ran me into the sanctuary and interrupted the service. And she said, "A new name." I still remember that. A new name has been added to the Lamb's Book of Life. And next came the roar of applause. Mrs. Hare died before the next spring break, but she continued to disciple me and mentor me to help me in the church, to help me grow, to help me be up front, to help me sing, to help me collect offering, to help lead. She even mentored me to help lead teaching the little ones. And I'll never forget my spiritual grandma, who was there and worked hard in being Jesus' hands to this little native boy in Southeast Oklahoma.
Thank you. Our son Liam was just about 2 and a half, and he had been tucked into his new big boy bed and was fast asleep. I was 8 months pregnant with our second child, another precious boy. I remember lowering my very pregnant self into my rocking chair, putting my feet up and picking up my knitting. I was only beginning to knit a blanket for our son, but he wasn't due until Valentine's Day. I had time. A few rows into the blanket, I felt my baby boy give a quick, hard kick. I smiled and rested my hands on my belly. I had no idea that the kick I had just felt would be the last time I would ever feel my son move. I woke up in the next morning and found it strange that I wasn't being repeatedly kicked in my bladder. As I stepped out of bed, my heart just knew. It was as if I couldn't feel my son's soul anymore. My brain didn't want to believe that he was gone, so I went about my day and kept it to myself. I wanted to be wrong. I finally told Heath that we had to go to the hospital right away, and we did. A nurse spent an eternity trying to find our son's heartbeat before my OB was called. My doctor arrived, we had an ultrasound, and she whispered the words, "I'm sorry, but there's no heartbeat or movement. I'm so sorry." Those words shattered our world into a million pieces. We returned to the hospital the following evening to induce labor. My arms were physically aching to hold my baby. When the time finally came to deliver, I was at peace. The lights were low, soft music was playing, and big, puffy snowflakes were falling outside. there was peace, tangible peace. The peace I felt during delivery was impenetrable and thick. I can't think of any other words to describe it. Elias James McLeod slipped silently into the world at 11:48 p.m. on January 12, 2016. He weighed exactly 8 pounds, and he had a head full of my dark curls. A nurse dressed him in the sweater and hat that I had knit for him. We snuggled and cherished him. I counted his 10 perfect fingers and reveled at how much he looked just like his big brother. He was dedicated to God shortly after birth. We left the hospital the next day with empty arms and broken hearts. The loss of a child is the most frightening, unresolvable, and most devastating deprivation of a lifetime. The loss of a child goes against the natural order of life. Your life is suddenly divided into before and after. It is a loss that will remain with me forever. What I miss the most about Elias is all of the memories we will never get to make together. His first smile, his first words, his first steps, first day of school, him and Liam sharing a room and bunk beds. We will never have the moments we dreamed of and hoped for. There is, and always will be, a missing space in our lives, our family, and our hearts. I admit that I was a little taken aback when Pastor Meredith asked me to share my story and what I have learned about God from Elias. I hadn't thought about my baby being a saint who has gone before me. I carried him under my heart for exactly 35 weeks. Yet I don't know what color his eyes were, nor have I ever heard the sound of his voice. What on earth have I learned about God in the past 7.5 years, I first wondered. As I thought and prayed about this, my wondering then turned into, where do I even begin sharing what I have learned about God? Celtic Christians believe in thin places, where the veil that separates heaven and earth is lifted and one is able to receive a glimpse of the glory of God. A thin place is where heaven and earth meet and time and eternity embrace. It is a God-shaped space, holy. For me, that hospital delivery room, where the peace I experienced can only be described as tangible and thick, became a thin place as I gave birth to my son. It was a God-shaped space. It was holy ground. The name Elias is Hebrew and means Yahweh is God. During my pregnancy, one of my friends told me she had read that another translation of Elias is God is with us. God, the great I am, who spoke the universe into existence, was present with us in our sorrow as we said both hello and goodbye to our baby boy. Yahweh is God. God is with us. On Sunday, December 12th, 2016, sorry, 11 months to the day that Elias was born, I learned that I was expecting another baby. I remember staring at 2 pink lines on a pregnancy test as my hands shook with both great joy and immense fear. That particular Sunday was the 3rd Sunday of Advent, Joy Sunday. While lighting the pink candle on our Advent wreath that evening, I read the following words from our family's Advent devotional by Henry Nouwen. The mystery of life is that Jesus came to suffer with us. So, can I have my water bottle? I'm sorry. Should I grab? The mystery of life is that Jesus came to suffer with us so that we could be joyful. He didn't come so that we wouldn't suffer, but so that we could taste the eternal life, that lasting joy that is of God, a God who is already in this world, already now, already precisely here. Yahweh is God. God is with us. The next 8 months of my pregnancy with our daughter consisted of hope, joy, anxiety, and downright fear. I clung to Lamentations 3, verses 19 through 23. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. No words could describe the joy that came with feeling flutters of life in my womb again, when the last I had felt was the stillness of death. Yet every ultrasound brought intense anxiety until I could hear the thump of my daughter's strong, steady heartbeat. I remember praying to God while driving to work every morning. Look, God, I know you're here. You have sat with me and held me while I was in the pit of grief. I believe in you, and I believe in your promises and your faithfulness. Be faithful to me, God. This baby is coming home from the hospital with us. Period. Sometimes I added amen. Geneva Sky McLeod made her entrance into the world at 6:54 in the morning on August 13th, 2017. She punctuated her arrival by screaming at the top of her lungs. Sunlight poured through the windows and the room was abuzz with activity and excitement, a stark contrast to her brother's birth just 19 months earlier. Later that day, a friend sent me a text saying that she had seen a huge rainbow arc over the sky while on her way to church that morning. Yahweh is God. God is with us. Because I know deep sorrow, I also know unspeakable joy. Though I will grieve the death of my son until I am reunited with him in heaven, it does not mean that my life is lacking happiness and joy. It is not either or. It is both and. I have learned that deep sorrow and immeasurable joy are actually two sides of the same coin. Because I grieve, I also know a joy like no other. The joy I experience now is far richer and deeper than the joy I experienced before the death of my son. Such is the alchemy of grief. It seems like the work of God follows a long and winding path, and try as I might, I often can't figure out where God is going or what God is doing in my life. Most of the time, I just don't understand. How can I ever reconcile that Geneva is here because Elias is not? I'm realizing that this journey takes an entire lifetime, and I will probably have to wait that long to understand what God is and has been doing. But I do know one thing for certain. God is here, walking close beside me, grieving and celebrating with me. In the meantime, I hope that I will encounter God in one of those thin places where I can look through the gossamer veil and get a glimpse of what it will be like when we are together with all of the saints in the presence of God for all of eternity. And when I will hold my sweet baby again. Yahweh is God. God is with us.
As you know, because Mark and Atsuko lived with us for a little while after they returned from Japan, this church showed love to Mark and Atsuko in very deep ways. Even before Mark's birth and throughout his life, there were at least six times when his life was endangered. But shortly after our granddaughter Nisi was born to her parents, Mark and Atsuko, our son was diagnosed with ALS, an autoimmune disease. And some of you know about ALS because you've had friends who have had it. It was the final threat to Mark's life. Deterioration was agonizing, frustrating, painful, relentless, but slow, 9.5 years. Normally, commonly, people are gone in 3 years with that diagnosis. Mostly, Mark remained his crazy sense of humor. He once told me that he thought maybe his role through all of this was going to be to comfort others who didn't understand his situation and helped them understand his situation. For a long while, he was able to speak, but it was deteriorating. He could speak to his computer, and it would type, and so he could communicate far and wide. Eventually, he couldn't speak well enough. It was garbled, and he was provided with a unique system where he could follow the letters on his screen and type that way with his eyes. In the end, his speech was so garbled, he could only whisper. A bright mind, a caring, creative person. He was a good writer, he was an artist, he was a friend, he cared. The people who showed up at his memorial were a vast array of people. And they had stories that, oh my goodness, I didn't know my son did that. But they were touched by Mark. There was difficulty finding good caregivers. He had a port for meds. He had a feeding tube. There was the prospect soon of a tracheotomy, probably being moved from his home to hospice, away from his beloved wife and daughter. Once, when they had first moved back from Japan and were living with us, they thought they were going to stay in Alaska. His wife, Atsuko, our dear daughter-in-law, is an RN, and she had gone to school in Portland. She had a license in Oregon. It was difficult for her to get a license here. Alaska had a stiff program. During COVID, she could have gotten a license here with no problem. So they moved to Portland, where there was a good system for ALS. But we were sitting, he and I, on the deck one evening in the fall, and the stars were out. It was beautiful. And he said, "Just so you know, Mom, when you're dead, you're dead." And I didn't say anything. I'm sure he thought I'd preach to him. And after a little bit, I said, "But look at that vast array of stars. Whether you want to call that power that put it there God or something else, a greater power than us." He didn't say anything. He was quiet. A year ago, in August, I opened my email to the words, "The time has come." My heart sank. We knew that time was coming, but my heart sank. The rest of the day was spent wrapping my head, our heads, around what was coming. And that evening, God sent a promise. "I have this. Rest in me." There was the most beautiful, full arch of a rainbow, the deepest colors I have ever seen across the pond from us. "I have this. Rest in me." We gathered in Portland to be with him, along with the two loves of his life, Atsuko and Nisi, and all of Mark's siblings and some of their spouses, and our oldest granddaughter, his dear friend Robert, who was a Buddhist, his closest friend Ezra, who was a Muslim. And Roger overheard Robert say to Mark, "Here is a man going on a new journey." He was encircled in love. Not a few tears were shed. We held hands around Mark and bade him goodbye. Robert led us in a Buddhist chant, sort of. It was beautiful. But I had a strong desire to not be holding hands with anybody but lifting my son to God. And I opened my eyes and looked down, and there's his friend Ezra on his knees in front of my son in his wheelchair, lifting my son to God. God is so gracious. We had him for 52 years. God sent a Muslim and a Buddhist, and not a few Christians, and some who claimed to no belief at all. But he was so present. And what I learned is from Ezra, who said, "Oh yeah, Mark and I have had a lot of conversations about what comes next. God comes to us in so many ways." And he came to me in knowing that from Ezra. I want to share just one more blessing from God. Weeks later, one morning, very early, I sat upright in my bed. All of a sudden, it was just a sudden, no, God, I want to be still sleeping. Because what I had seen was my son walking toward me, smiling. And I didn't want it to end. It was God's promise. He's okay. You can rest in me. I have him. Thank you, dear God, for being so gracious.